Hello, listener. Hello, world. NFL Week 12. Fantastic beasts and where to find them. Well, they're here, folks. As we look back at some teams' monstrous performances, while other teams who desperately need a swish from a magic wand to reignite their faltering season. Thanksgiving night gave us the further proof that the Cooter has Jim Bobbed Matthew as Super Stafford gave the Vikes the horn. Then, Dallas powered to a win over Washington, as Zeke again made the defense creak. How do we like you now, Kirk? Well, we like you just fine, but as for that defense, well, not so much. And finally, as your pumpkin pie was bubbling away nicely, the luckless Colts were unable to hit the Steelers with their very own mean tauzin, as Pittsburgh rolled to a second consecutive win and back in the depressing mess which is the AFC North. Talking of depressing messes, Houston is back with a bang. Sadly for Texans fans, that's the Justin variety as he tortures Trev in Denver while Brock shocks, delivering a Black Sunday to the Texans nation. In Raiderland, Sunday's game came and went with dislocation and near exasperation as Oakland's car ground to a halt before spluttering back to life. The defense was on song late with the return of the Mac. Khalil, that is. Yes, the Power Rankings show is back after last week when the two turkeys on this show were replaced by some more tasty feathered friends for a festive feast. With the week off, Justin, I do hope you found some time to stuff a bird. All that and more on this episode of the next Fan Up Power Rankings. Justin, woof.
Listen.
Hello?
We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next Fan Up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Super Fans.
But they are who we thought they were.
Hey, Justin. How was your holiday? Black Monday, sickening Sunday.
The holiday was good. I wasn't killed in any riots for shoes. We don't talk about Sunday on this show.
To go out and wrestle a grandmother for a toaster.
Hey man, this is America. Those grandmothers are packing heat. You better watch out.
True enough. Okay, Justin, we're back after that. That hiatus, and I've got to say much since we returned, but we're going to go through each team just very quickly, Justin, and then we'll have our extra point, which is wow, it's quite a funny one this week, isn't it? That was a great play. We'll get back to that later, and then we'll get out of here. So let's start as we do every week, apart from last week when we won here, 32, and well, Justin, I can say that from number 32 up to number 26, there's no change this week. But we'll quickly run through them. Cleveland, unsurprisingly, still number 32. And oh my goodness, are you speechless?
Yeah, Cleveland is terrible. They have nobody. I mean, outside of Terrell Pryor, who's good. But, you know, they also have about 500 draft picks coming up next year. So they'll be able to completely retool this team with a entirely separate team that will probably be terrible next year. So there's change on the horizon, if not hope.
Yeah, one of the things I've noticed in the last couple of weeks is it's slowly ebbed away, hasn't it? And now it's almost, it feels like it's a done deal before the game starts. The other thing I'm going to look for next week, Justin, is I think they drafted 5 wide receivers, didn't they, last year in the draft? There was a whole lot of chatter about how can you draft 5 receivers. I must have a look and see how many of them are still on the team.
Yeah, especially when their best wide receiver is not somebody that they drafted. It's not somebody who even came to the league in the normal draft. Terrell Pryor, who came through the supplemental draft, if I recall, a few years ago in Oakland. They seem to be taking the approach of sort of more is more, you know, kind of trying to just grab a lot of wide receivers in hopes of kind of punching, you know, a winning lotto ticket on it, which at least in one or two cases seems to be working.
Let's hope so. At number 31, we've got the Jacksonville Jaguars. Again, I have to pose the question to you, Justin. Which franchise can match the Jaguars in having having so much talent but yet produced so little on the field. A disappointing loss again yesterday, and the season's end can't come quick enough for this franchise.
Yeah, they have, I feel like, good players at every level. I think that, honestly, I think that if you took their roster and gave it to Cleveland with the fact that Cleveland's been somewhat competitive with such a terrible roster, you would actually have probably a middle-of-the-road team with, you know, their personnel and Cleveland's coaching. I talked about it on the podcast yesterday. I'm so disappointed in just how undisciplined and out of position the defense of the Jacksonville Jaguars gets on a Gus Bradley coach team. They have to fire him. Have to.
Yeah, there seems like there's no other option just now, is there? Because even if you can say, okay, defensive coach, and he hasn't got the offense right, the guy hasn't got the defense right, and you'd expect that from him. But, well, moving on, Justin, number 30. Again, no change for the San Francisco 49ers. But there were some green shoots of hope there in San Francisco, I thought, with Kaepernick's performance yesterday.
Yeah, I think Charlie, the 49ers superfan, put it perfectly. You know, if you know the 49ers going into the season, you were definitely sure that Glenn Gabbert was going to be the starter. But there's nobody on this planet who at this point can say that Cap isn't clearly a far superior option. I don't know if he's, you know, if he's a starting quarterback in this league or not, but they're using him the way that they used him early in the Jim Harbaugh era, which was kind of one or two reads and then tuck and go. And with how fast he is, and, you know, how much, you know, with his big long strides eating up turf, that's a really tough thing for any team to deal with. So at the very least, I think that if they get some good pieces, Chip Kelly is actually doing an okay job on that offense.
I liked what Charlie said yesterday. I thought it was very impressive. It shows you why he's a super fan of that team. I liked his comments about the two defensive linemen they got in the draft the last 2 years, Buckner and Armstead. Good stuff there. And I think he's spot on with his view that Myles Garrett is the player he wants for San Francisco. That would be a terrific signing, well, terrific draft selection for anybody. But yeah, good stuff there from Charlie. Let's hope he gets a better season next year. New York Jets at number 29, no change there. And I pose a question to you this time, Justin, will Todd Bowles survive the season? It's all looking a bit of a mess there.
I feel like he gets one more year. This is what year two of his tenure. I think, you know, yeah, unless you are 0-16, you usually get at least three. And, you know, the first year was good, so this is only one bad year. So I think he's back next year.
With a new quarterback.
Oh, absolutely.
Jay Cutler.
Tony Romo.
Maybe. Okay, number 28. A team also has a new quarterback, and that is the Goffster. He's back. He's there. He's on. And he played okay for the first half. Threw three touchdowns. Which I would point out, Justin, it's three touchdowns in a game, which is something that Carson Wentz hasn't done this season.
I don't think there's any evidence that the Goffster, as you put it, is anywhere near what Carson Wentz is at this point. I mean, it was for his very first game, it was not bad. I mean, it was exactly what you like to see. He came out and immediately threw a long touchdown pass, and so, you know, they're hopeful for him. But let's be honest, if he were the guy and he were ready, we would have seen him sooner. This is,
yep. Yeah, that's true.
This to me is, this is like Jeff Fisher cover now, because now if they, you know, if Goff plays okay and maybe improves a little bit down the stretch, then, you know, Jeff Fisher can play the, oh, well, you know, we finally have this to build on, you know, we need continuity next year card, so that they can, you know, once again go 7-9.
Justin, that is a cynical attitude and sums up Jeff Fisher perfectly. I would think that, well, I think Goff started. Did he start last week, or did he come into the game last week? I can't remember. But he certainly started this game. I have to say, I didn't. I liked Wentz over Goff in the draft. I was quite impressed with Goff's arm strength. I thought he threw a nice, tidy, crisp-looking pass. So, yeah. Who knows? Fingers crossed for the kid. He hasn't got much to throw to, but well, hopefully they'll deal with that in the draft next year. Number 27, we've got the Chicago Bears. And we saw another quarterback issue there, Matt Barkley starting. And, yeah, looking sort of so-so. Some good stuff, some poor stuff. But, yeah, well, he's been in the league for 3 or 4 years now as a sort of second string and third string quarterback. Is there a future there for him?
As a backup.
Chicago Tom didn't think so, did he?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, yeah, just like you said, he's been in the league for 3 years. If you recall, he actually... He went back for a senior year in college. The year before, there was a lot of talk that he would be the number two overall pick. Like, that's how well-regarded he was. And then he had a lousy senior year. I want to say he was at USC. And then, so he fell in the draft. Then he got picked up by the Eagles, who were kind of a quarterback whisperer team, and they didn't get anything out of him. They really couldn't find a place for him, so he sort of bounced around a little bit. He finally saw the field, and yeah, I thought he played... effectively. I think that he very clearly has a future in the league as a backup, and that's not meant to be like insulting. I mean, there's you know only maybe 18 or so starting caliber quarterbacks on the planet at a given time at the NFL level, and he's not one of them, but he played well enough that he could back up plenty of teams in the league.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do, if they keep Cutler or not. There was some rumors this week that he might actually stay Cutler, so you got to feel that Chicago just needs to have a clean break, though, no one start again.
Yeah, I agree completely. I think that they need a completely fresh start there.
So, Justin, another team with a quarterback issue. It's the Arizona Cardinals at number 26. No change for the Cardinals this week, and I can't hardly believe they're way down there at number 26 after what we saw last year. And the question for you, Justin, is Carson Palmer going to last out this whole season?
I mean, yes, I think that they'll stick with him to the end of the year because they don't have anything even remotely not terrible behind him. But, I mean, I'm ready to stick a fork in him. He is so done.
Yeah, and we can stick a fork in the team as well because they're going nowhere, and they're going nowhere fast. At number 25, we've got the Indianapolis Colts. They've dropped down two spots. Maybe a little bit harsh since they were playing with mean Scott Tolzien. On Thursday against the Pittsburgh Steelers, but hey, it's all about depth in this league. If you don't have depth, you're going nowhere. So no luck, no chance.
Yeah, although I thought Tolzien actually was okay. He wasn't helped by a couple of drops, but I mean, you know, how many teams in the league are going to be fine without their starting quarterback, especially one where you know, the rest of the team is kind of terrible. So yeah, they're toast.
Yep. Number 24, the Tennessee Titans, up one spot. They excited us 2 weeks ago, Justin. Then last week they let themselves down with a big loss. And now here we go, this week, another good performance. And yeah, who are they? 1 week good, 1 week bad?
I mean, they're a team in transition. They're a team that I think is making the move from bad to good. And I think that, you know, when the Tennessee Titans will finish this year a much better team than they were at the end of last year. And next year could be a chance for them to contend for their division. You know, talking to James about it yesterday, it just sounded like the way the schedules line up, it's not very favorable for them to try and win the division this year. But they've become a solid team. And I think that, you know, by this point next year, there's a very good chance that they're going to be seriously in contention to win that division.
Yeah, they are half a game back from the Houston Texans. They've played 12 games, 6-6. Texans are 6-5 after 11 games, so their division record is what's letting them down at the moment. Houston are 3-0 within the division, and the Tennessee Titans 1-3 in the division, so that's going to hurt them a little bit. But they're close. Hey, man, they're close.
They are, but I don't have the schedule in front of me. I remember looking at it yesterday, though. They've got a rough go of it coming up here shortly, whereas it's pretty much just division games for the Houston Texans. Here, actually, let me pull it up real quick. So, they've got so the next two games are the Broncos and the Chiefs. I mean, ouch. Good. If their schedule wasn't so rough coming up, and they have their bye this week, they would have a good shot. I fully expect them to lose both of those games.
Yeah. No, that's a fair point. fair point. But certainly they're on the way up. They've got a couple of first round picks next year as well. So it's looking pretty good for Tennessee going forward. About time too. They've been in the doldrums for, gosh, I don't know, 10 years?
Yeah, something like that.
Number 23 with the Cincinnati Bengals. And my goodness, Cincinnati. You know, sometimes you see a team and they've got one guy who makes either the offense or the defense click. Take him out of there and they're nothing. And you're seeing that exactly with the Cincinnati Bengals. Without AJ Green, nothing.
Yeah, to me, if I were the Cincinnati Bengals and I lost AJ Green, my first thought would be like, okay, well, let's start incorporating Gio Bernard in the passing game a little bit more, you know, getting him, you know, running out, getting some matchups. Oh, wait, he's gone too. Well, now you're screwed. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have a feeling maybe it's the all these offensive the offensive and defensive coordinators moving on. Seemingly every year somebody moves on from that team. It's maybe starting to catch them up a little bit. But certainly no playoffs this year for Cincinnati. Number 22, we're into the pretenders, and it's the Houston Texans. And the number 22, Justin, and this is our first seeded playoff team. AFC's fourth seed, and not good.
No, not good at all. Specifically that quarterback position. Oh, man. They have tied themselves to a bad football player.
They certainly have, yes. And just to pull back the curtain a little bit, listener, usually it's around about picks 18 and 17 that Justin messages me to tell me that I'm going too slowly. But here we go. That was pick 22. That's probably a record. Number 21, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Tampa Bay are on their way up. They're moving up these rankings faster than me doing this podcast, Justin.
Yeah, I shot that message to you pretty much just to make you laugh, which is part of the reason why we get bogged down in the weeds as we start doing this mainly to entertain ourselves at a certain point. Tampa Bay is a lot like the Titans to me. They're the team that I usually forget when I'm naming all the teams in every division. They've got that a good young quarterback, and they are starting to come around, right? They're right around that 500 mark. Again, I don't think this year is their year to win that division, but next year they absolutely could be. They played a great game this weekend.
Just let me stop you there, Justin. We'll get to that game later on in these rankings when you can have a bit more time on it. I think the one thing to say about Tampa Bay is at the moment they're going through a very, very soft part of their schedule for the season. Wouldn't you agree?
Given that they just played my Seahawks,
that's a no for me, then, Justin.
All right, I'm gonna let that go.
Okay, number 20, we've got the Buffalo Bills up one spot. And if nothing else, the Buffalo Bills are exciting. McCoy, Taylor. But they did make the Jags look competitive, which is, of course, a bit of a drawback.
Yeah, they should be ashamed of themselves for letting them do anything remotely good. But, you know, Sammy Watkins is back. And that's a huge story. He looked really good. He only had 3 receptions, but he still went for like 80-some yards. LeSean McCoy, I mean, they're a big play offense, right? You know, they're not going to be that precision, surgical, like, you know, it's not going to be Tom Brady in there, you know, who, you know, when you need 7 yards, you get 8, right? When you, you know, put you into, you know, second and short, third and, you know, easily manageable. No, it's going to be like 3 and out, 80-yard bomb.
Yep. I've got to say, I'm a big fan of Sammy Watkins. I just hope the guy can stay fit. We talked about it before, about him just being injury prone since day one, so fingers crossed for that guy. Right, number 19, the Minnesota Vikings, and they are down 7 spots. And again, they just had we probably all watched quite a bit of this game on Thanksgiving. Oh, they're a hard watch, Justin.
Yeah, I picked against them, but it was a pretty competitive game. I mean, it did take a fourth quarter comeback. I think the difference in this game, though, was the quarterbacks. I mean, Matthew Stafford was under duress all night. He was making stick throws with no room around him. I mean, like, the entire line crashing next to him. You know, he looked like he was in a mosh pit. and he's still making terrific throws. You know, one thing he's always had has been an excellent arm, and you can really see the impact of that when, you know, he throws the football, looks like it's on a frozen rope 30 yards down the field and hits the receiver right in the hands for a big gain. You know, the Vikings, I'm so sick of people arguing about Sam Bradford. I really, really am. But I think they're going to be in that no man's land where they're not good enough to, you know, win, but they're not bad enough to get a top pick again.
Yeah, but you know what's worse, of course, is that obviously, excuse me, they've given their top pick away to the Eagles this coming draft, and they're third place, I think, at the moment, and performing poorly in what is a very pretty weak division. Let's be honest about it. So yeah, Minnesota dropping like a stone, down 7 spots. I could see them being into the dead enders by the time the season's finished. Number 18, the Baltimore Ravens, who keep clinging on in that in the AFC. They're up 2 spots. Reasonable victory against the Bengals, but good division win. But they're not exciting anybody, and certainly Joe Flacco is not. He's no Matthew Stafford.
No, but he, although he does have probably the biggest arm in the league, although it's even, you know, after changing offensive coordinators, I feel like they're not using that as much. The only issue I'm going to have here is they should be higher than Pittsburgh. They've beaten Pittsburgh. They're ahead of Pittsburgh. They've won more games than Pittsburgh. I just don't know why, by what criteria, what you would need to see out of them to get them above Pittsburgh.
I guess I'm happy with the Baltimore defense. I just think offensively, when they play against the better teams, they're going to lose because they can't put enough points on the board at the moment. They just don't excite me, Justin. I'm sorry. Pittsburgh probably excite me a bit more. I would take the Pittsburgh offense and the Baltimore defense, and then you'd have a pretty decent team. But yeah, there's a few spots between them. You're right. And yeah, certainly make a note of that for next week. I wonder who they've got coming up this week, because that would be... maybe they can get a win coming up and move up. Anyway, number 17 is the Carolina Panthers. And what did we see from Carolina last night? We saw the good Carolina, the dominating Carolina, and then we saw the error-prone, just terrible decision-making Carolina Panthers. And they're struggling now also with injuries.
Yeah, they are. And I mean, They did not play well yesterday. A few of their touchdowns were off of short field. They were getting blown out early before coming back. Kind of hit sort of a fluky a deep pass to Ted Ginn. So I didn't see a whole lot out of them that makes me think that they're any different from what we thought they've been all year.
No, they're hovering in there around about the 17-18 mark. I don't think they're going to do much this year. They're certainly not going to get to the playoffs. Philadelphia Eagles, number 16, they're playing tonight in Monday Night Football against the Green Bay Packers, who are at number 14 and wedged nicely between them. Must be a nice, comfortable place to be. The San Diego Chargers, who up 2 spots, and, oh gosh, they're probably the most fun team to watch, Justin. I just love San Diego. Love Philip Rivers.
Yeah, and I think they're going to be the best team in the league to not make the playoffs.
2 games back, can they get into it?
Over Denver, over Oakland, over the Kansas City Chiefs? No, they cannot.
No. Who will be who? I don't have the playoff picture. Do I have the playoff picture to hand? I probably don't. They must be 2 games. They're 2 games back in the playoff picture. But to whom, I wonder?
I mean, it's going to be in your division. I mean, you know, at least right now, you're going to have all the division winners from the AFC in the playoffs. Plus, looks like the second and third place team out of the AFC West, but not the fourth place team, which is the San Diego Chargers.
Sure. So, well, you're telling they're gonna me pull, why Pittsburgh...
I mean, unless you think that they're going to pull ahead of the Chiefs, or the Raiders, or the Broncos. That's what it would require for them to get in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. Denver? Are Denver going to... You just don't see those two teams falling off the cliff, do you? Not really. No, they've got Indianapolis above them. They've got Tennessee, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, and Denver all above them in the wild card race. So, it's going to be it's a bit of a shame because they're an outstanding team to watch. Really good fun. Anyway, we'll leave San Diego there, nicely sandwiched between Green Bay and Philadelphia. Number 13, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you think possibly a little bit too high for Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I think a couple spots too high. I think that I just don't see a whole lot of incentive to have them above Baltimore. They lost the head-to-head. They've lost more games. And they're just so Jekyll and Hyde. They beat the Colts without Andrew Luck. That's about the equivalent of beating the Cleveland Browns, as far as I'm concerned. You do not impress me with a win like that one.
Yeah, fair enough. And I'm also noting that actually Baltimore are the third seed in the AFC, and I have them below Pittsburgh, who are not in the playoffs currently. They're one game out of the playoff race at the moment. So yeah, maybe a change needs to be made there. Number 12, the Miami Dolphins. They're up one spot, and for the first time in about 347 years, Miami are in a playoff spot.
Yeah, that's incredible. Miami in the playoffs without Dan Marino, that's impressive. And especially if you look at how their season went, they were really bad to start the year. And don't look now, but they have now won 6 games in a row.
I'm going to say they were 1-4 at one point, weren't they? Now they're 7-4. So yeah, must be a 6-game win streak.
Yeah, and it's not like they, they've beaten some bad teams, but they've also beat some pretty good teams. I mean, they beat the Steelers, the Bills, the Jets, the Chargers, and the Rams and Niners. But we've got a couple kind of top half of the league teams in there that they've beaten now. It's not a bunch of nobodies.
To be honest, Justin, if in the NFL, if you go on a 6-game win streak, then that's impressive, no matter who you're playing. Even
yeah,
if it's
absolutely
Cleveland
true.
6 times in a row. Still right. Still good going. So well done, Miami. Keep it up. It'd be great to see that really weird aqua greeny, bluey, blech, vomit-coloured strip in the playoffs. And then we have number 11, the New Orleans Saints. No change for New Orleans. And this game was all about Sean Payton taking out a hit on Williams, the defensive coordinator.
I guess snitches get stitches. So they definitely poured it on very intentionally, which was kind of funny.
It was, and another exciting team who are not going to be in the playoffs. I don't think. I think New Orleans are going to be caught out there in the old playoff mix, and that's a shame because Drew Brees is playing as well as any quarterback in this league. He's fun to watch.
Drew Brees is as good as any quarterback has ever been in the NFL. And unfortunately,
absolutely.
I think the fact that he probably won't have, 5 rings when he's done will be unfortunate for his legacy. Because, he really needs to be in the conversation for the best of all time. I mean, what he's done is incredible.
Nice segue to the team in number 10th spot, also with a quarterback who's heading into that conversation of one of the greatest of all time, Kirk Cousins and the Washington Redskins. And Justin, is it time to pay Kirk Cousins, and how much would you pay him?
Yeah, I mean, at a certain point, you're like, man, we should have paid him last year. He would have been cheaper. he was dominant in that game against the Cowboys. I mean, he was the reason they were in that game. I mean, he was making good throws all day, making good decisions. He's been safe with the football. They've talked about how if they need to, they'll franchise him again. But when you franchise a second time, it's like 120% raise. He would be incredibly expensive. But that being said, I mean, if you don't pay him, somebody will. He's going to get a fat, fat paycheck.
Yeah, you can see him starting for at least half the teams in this league right now. I just hope they pay him, get him signed up to a long-term deal. I'd like to have the security of knowing that our quarterback's in place for the next few years. It's that defense, though. Whenever we see anybody who can run the ball, our defense just disappears and we end up losing the game because we just cannot stop a team that runs the ball. We just cannot do it. And we knew it in the offseason, and every Washington fan was saying, draft some linemen, and we took one in the fifth round and did, and nobody else, and it's worse than it was last year. It was so obvious, Justin. I was almost swearing there. Right, number nine, the Detroit Lions, and we've talked about Matthew Stafford and his hugely impressive season so far there, but Detroit, they're down one spot, Justin, because I'm a bit concerned about Detroit and the fact that every game seems to be a fourth quarter comeback, and you know at the end of the season that the tougher the games get, you're going to run out of luck in those situations.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I think I would actually have them one spot lower. I know we're splitting hairs, but in just a head-to-head neutral field, I would take Washington over them. I think that Washington's got the slightly better offense, and I think that their defenses are fairly equivalent. But you know, they're my favorite to win that division right now. Matthew Stafford is playing well, and I mean he's been kind of the fourth quarter comeback king of the league this year. That may not be sustainable, but so far, he's doing a real good job of it, so full credit to them.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of great quarterback stories, Prescott and all the others who have done well this season. We look at Winston and Mariota and their development. But I tell you, Matthew Stafford's under the radar. He's got to be one of the big stories of just how much improvement. And he's got his team there, top of the division, the number three seed in the NFC playoff picture at the moment, and going great guns. Terrific to see. Number eight, got the New York Giants up one spot, but they're a team who have benefited from playing a pretty soft part of their schedule over the last few weeks. Coming up, they're at Pittsburgh, home to Dallas, home to Detroit, at Philadelphia, and at Washington, and that is certainly going to test out the New York Giants quite a bit.
Yeah, those are all pretty evenly matched teams, I think. We'll probably take the home team in all of them. This is a situation where, going into the year, I was very, very happy with the move to keep Ben McAdoo on board as the head coach. They struggled early on, outside of the first game where they did hand the Cowboys their one loss, but they were kind of iffy early, and they've kind of solidified since then. To me, talk about equivalent teams, I see them and Washington as being almost exact equals in terms of how I would rank them. You know, give me a 10-game series on a neutral field, and I think it's 5-5. Like, I really think they're just right next to each other, neck and neck.
Yep, I think that's fair, Justin. I think that's fair. Number seven, the Denver Broncos. They're down one spot. They lost, what turned out to be just a terrific game against the Kansas City Chiefs. Von Miller looking like the best defensive player in the league. But right now, sitting number seven in our rankings, Justin, but they are out of the playoffs.
Yeah, and that's the result of that just really crowded AFC West and the emergence of the Miami Dolphins. I mean, the Broncos are still a really good team, even if with Trevor Siemian at quarterback, that defense is still plenty good enough to win a lot of games. But, I mean, they have a very real shot to miss the playoffs. I mean, it's not a done deal that they're going to be back there. And I don't know what their schedule is, but having lost division games, it's a tall order for them.
Yes, we'll see how they get on, but it's a tough division, and that was a big home loss last night. The Atlanta Falcons at number six, up one spot. They had a huge injury blow this week, even though they won the game yesterday. They lost Trufant, the cornerback, the outstanding cornerback for the season. And you can't help but think that that's going to impact on them down the road.
Yeah, especially the way that they're constructed. I mean, they are a offensive powerhouse, and so you would expect their defense is going to be built to stop teams who are trying to, come from behind. So stop teams that are throwing the ball a lot, and having a number one corner really, really helps in that situation. And I know that Tim, our Atlanta Falcons superhand, fan, as soon as he heard Trufant was out, probably started tearing his hair out on the spot.
Oh, hope not. He's got such lovely hair. I don't know if you saw in the highlights of this game or on Red Zone, they've got a player, I think he's a wide receiver, is it Gabriel, he's called? picked him up from Cleveland, I think, in the season there. My God, that guy is fast.
Yeah, I didn't catch his name, but I saw him on the highlights. Yeah, he can haul. That dude flies.
Yeah, amazing. He looked like he was running and everybody else was walking. It was just, oh wow, what a speed! What a great asset to have late in a game, or any point in the game. Anyway, at number five, Justin. We've got the Seattle Seahawks, Justin, down two spots. And 2 weeks ago, we sat here on this very podcast saying, "Hey, look at the schedule. Seattle could run the table here." Not a great start.
No, and I mean, if you want my extended thoughts on it, check out the recap from yesterday. Here's the thing. The Seattle Seahawks team from a week ago, 2 weeks ago, absolutely could run the table. The Seahawks team we had on the field yesterday can't. You know, without Justin Britt, the only good offensive lineman at this point, against a good defensive line anchored by Gerald McCoy, who's an absolute monster, it's just like week one and week two again. You know, Russell's running for his life. The timing's totally off, so you can't really run those kind of West Coast timing patterns, because either he's, you know, having to evade tackles like right in that window where the throw is supposed to happen, or he's getting hit before they get to that point. And then this defense without Earl Thomas is so very ordinary. It's got a lot of really good players, so it's still a very good defense. But, you know, the difference between, you know, a really good defense and the Seahawks defense is number 29 back there. It's such a tremendous loss not having him. As soon as those players are back, though, I mean, I have full confidence that they're going to just be back to being the Seahawks as long as they don't have more injuries. You know, the Seahawks, what the Seahawks are getting back talent-wise in a couple of weeks is like half of a Pro Bowl roster. So, you know, come playoff times, as long as they don't lose their seeding, that's really all I'm worried about at the moment.
Who's coming back? That'll be Bennett, Thomas, and Shedd.
Yeah, Bennett and Thomas, obviously the huge ones. Getting Justin Britt back will help quite a bit. Mike Morgan, a reserve linebacker, is coming back. Obviously Deshaun Shedd. But I mean, the big thing is, you know, take a defense which is really good, then add Michael Bennett and Earl Thomas, and then you've really got a tough situation for other people to deal with.
Yeah, the pressure yesterday from Tampa Bay, was it McCoy up the middle? Is that what was causing the problems?
Yeah, I mean, it was a combination of a few things. It was McCoy definitely sort of had his way through the middle, but it was that whole defensive front. There was clearly some miscommunication. You had a rookie center in there, so that caused some issues. And just physically, he's not anywhere near what Justin Britt's capable of, so he was also getting beat. And then, you know, the other rookies on the offensive line, which at that point, three of your five spots were rookies. You definitely saw people going the wrong directions, making the wrong reads. Two players trying to pick up the same defensive lineman while somebody else comes free. It was just a mess back there. Pretty much exactly like week one and week two, where they weren't very good and they weren't in sync.
Hmm. Oh, well, better luck for you guys next week. You're still the second seat in the NFC playoff picture, so I doubt you're going to catch Dallas now, but still, you got a bye week, which is a good thing. Number four, the Kansas City Chiefs. They are up one spot with that huge win. And after they had such a disappointment, also against Tampa Bay last week, Kansas City comes back and pulls out the overtime victory against Denver. And as much as we can say Von Miller is fabulous for Denver, we've got to say, Justin Houston back for Kansas City. And he looked the part.
Yeah, that's one of those things where, you know, anytime Nick, our Chiefs fan, talks about Justin Houston coming back, I think people are at least a little bit skeptical. You know, not as young as he used to be. You know, who knows how he'll look after the injury. And he comes in and is the best player in that color uniform and one of the two best players on the field alongside Von Miller. So, you know, this team, which I was already really high on getting that back, if the offense, which has been was still a little bit shaky, especially Alex Smith, you know, if they can get back on track, they could very well be the best team in the AFC.
Yep. And Justin Houston, of course, a third round pick, so it just shows you what you can do if you draft properly. The Oakland Raiders at number three, they had the injury to Carr, which I don't know if you saw it, Justin. Who's that offensive lineman who's on NFL Network who has the sort of bent finger? all the time.
Do you know him? Was that Baldinger?
Yeah, Brian Baldinger, yeah. He's got this sort of pinky which sort of points in a different direction. Carr's pinky looked like that when he came out from under center last night. I'm not quite sure still what happened. He sort of 1 minute his hands were just about to get the ball, and next minute his finger was hanging off. So, but he came back in the game, put a glove on, and Khalil Mack seemed to show up big in this game, especially late on when it really counts. And yeah, I think overall in the whole league this week, some big defensive performances from players.
Yeah, I'm glad that Khalil Mack is back. We talked about it on this show. I was really unimpressed with him for the first half of the year. And he finally seems to kind of have figured his stuff out. I don't know if it's the new defensive coordinator, Ken Norton Jr., getting integrated with his way of doing things or what. But he played well. Malcolm Smith, a former Super Bowl MVP of the Seahawks, is playing really well for them as well. So that defense is coming around. And you combine that with a really potent offense. As long as Derek Carr doesn't break any fingers off inside the backsides of his offensive linemen going forward, they're a very complete team. They're very good on both sides of the ball, and that's way more than you can say about the vast majority of all the teams in the league.
Yeah, good point. That balance there. Yeah, even juicy Brucey Irvin got a sack yesterday, I believe. Ex Seattle man.
Yeah, no, he was
number two.
He was really good.
Yeah, he was, yeah. Okay, up at number two. No change at number two, which also means there's no change at number one. The New England Patriots at number two. But I looked at New England last night, and they looked a bit soft on defense.
They are soft on defense. They're not a great team defensively. I mean, you lose your best pass rusher in Chandler Jones, who's having a great year. You get rid of Collins, the linebacker, who and you, punish him to a season of browniness. That defense is soft. I mean, their defensive line is nothing exciting. Their corners are fine. You know, Malcolm Butler is a starting cornerback in the league, but he's not a star. Their linebackers are still really good overall. And they got good safety play, but they're a mediocre defense, and an offense that's usually really good unless, but if Rob Gronkowski is going to miss some more time, they become pretty one-dimensional pretty quick. It's just Martellus Bennett and LeGarrette Blount at that point. So I've got concerns about this entire team right now.
I think I heard you on the recap show last night, which is out there, guys, listener. Go and listen to that podcast. It was terrific with Justin and Sam and all the guys. I heard you saying that you were worried about Gronkowski's long-term future in terms health-wise.
Yeah, you start adding up all of his injuries, like, you know, repeat back injuries, knee injuries, you know, that severe arm injury. To me, it just looks like his career is kind of starting to parallel Megatron a little bit, where, you know, he comes in and at his best, it's possible nobody is better than him at his best. I don't know if we're going to have his best for 15, 18 years, like somebody like a Tony Gonzalez, though. Not with the, you know, how physical he is and sort of the accumulation of injuries he's had.
Yeah, well, let's fingers crossed because he's a great player. But anyway, yeah, New England clinging on there. But I'm not sure what happened, Justin, but last week Oakland, I think, were the number one seed in the AFC. Now New England are the number one seed in the AFC. It must be to do with whoever they played this week, but they both played. Oh, no, of course, New England would have played a divisional team, so maybe that helped their overall ranking. Anyway, they're up to number one in the playoff race, the AFC seeding. And our overall number one, Justin, the Dallas Cowboys. And they're sitting there at 10-1. And their schedule to the end of the season is at Minnesota, at the Giants, home to Tampa Bay, home to Detroit, and at Philadelphia. Not too bad.
No, they've got a cushy schedule throughout the rest of the year. Division games, you never know, especially away division games. So, I'm not quite calling for the brooms that they're going to sweep the rest of the league out. But they've got a great schedule. I have a really hard time imagining them not having the number one seed. And then once the playoffs start up, I think that's when we'll really see about these rookies. I mean, that'll be more games than they've ever played when they were in college. And, you know, that'll be against nothing but what should be legitimately good teams. So this will be a really fun team to watch in the playoffs.
Yeah. So right now, if the playoffs were today, Justin, in the NFC, we would be having Washington, the number 6 seed, at the Detroit Lions, the number 3 seed, and the New York Giants, the 5th seed, at the Atlanta Falcons, the 4th seed, with your Seahawks and the Dallas Cowboys getting a bye. And over in the AFC, it would be Miami against Baltimore and Kansas City at Houston Texans. And again, New England and Oakland would be having the bye week. So we're starting to get a picture there in terms of the playoffs. Only half a dozen, what, 5 games to go, is it, in the season? So that's going to be terrific. It's going to be I look forward to the playoffs, Justin. That's when it becomes proper football. But talking about proper football, Justin, we do have our extra point this week. And if anybody, listener, if you have not gone back or saw it live, the very final play of the Cincinnati Bengals and the Baltimore Ravens yesterday. Let me just paint you a little picture. It's the final play. Ravens are leading. They've just got to see out the clock, basically. And the punter, Sam Cook, he takes a snap. They're probably around about the 10-yard line, Justin. That'd be right, somewhere around the 10, 12-yard line. And he takes the snap as the punter, and rather than punting the ball 50 yards down the field, he very gently edges his way back into the end zone. And you think, okay, he's sort of hanging about here. still refuses to punt the ball. Meanwhile, at the line of scrimmage, there's picture the scene of about 6 defensive players and 6 offensive linemen, and they're man and man. And basically, they've got them in neck holds, arm locks, you name it, sitting on top of them at one point, pinning them all to the ground. And finally, one of the referees notices that might be holding. And about 5 yellow flags descend on the field. They continue to hold the players. The play continues, and one defender gets free, chases Cook, who steps out the back of the end zone for the safety. And of course, with it being an offensive penalty for the 5 holding flags, the result of the play with the safety, the game can end on that offensive play. So, boom, game's over, clock expires, and it's just a bit of a farce, really.
Yeah, it looks like the Royal Rumble. I mean, you've got 10 different like one-on-one scrums occurring. You know, with people like jogging, my favorite one was if you look at the top of the screen, you see where the wide receiver has tackled the corner and is holding him on the ground. And like, you know, some of them, there were a couple players who were trying to go for the punter. There were a couple who just wanted to win their little like fight. And you know, the way that they were just kind of like grabbing and shaking each other, it was awesome. I thought it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. It's kind of genius, if you think about it, you know, to eat out the last bit of clock, because they knew that there wasn't going to be an untimed down. The crowd reaction is hilarious because they're booing profusely at all the flags and whatever this awful thing is. But then the referees come on the thing and announce that the game is over. And they like the crowd is like, oh, wait, that means we win. And then they all go nuts and start cheering. It was quite the scene. There is something, though, a little ironic to me about... you know, the Ravens in particular doing this, you know, kind of exploiting this rule in the rule book to win a game. Weren't they the ones who, like, complained to the league and got the rule change about, like, offensive substitutions and, like, tackle-eligible type plays? Weren't they the ones who, like, were basically calling doing that sort of thing fairly bush league? And so they're the ones who come out and do this? Interesting, Coach Harbaugh.
Yeah, you have to admire... You have to admire just the sheer brazen attitude of the Ravens to do it in the first place. But you have to admire the way the play unfolded, and it was funny. But there's also a serious point to this, I think. that's, you know, we talk endlessly this season about the ratings going down because the NFL has just become a bit of a joke in terms of refereeing. And there you go. There's 22 players and all the coaching staff, and they're not making it easy for the refs there. And what can the refs do? It's a rule that needs to be changed because it just adds to the whole travesty of what has become a bit of a joke of a season in terms of refereeing and the rules of the game. So from that point of view, I'd like to see that changed. But hey, listener, just if you just want to have a laugh for a couple of minutes, just go and watch it because, like Justin said, it's also really funny.
Yeah, and
anyway, Justin, is that?
I just want to, in a situation like this, though, it's not the officials' fault. I mean, they didn't write the rules, and a lot of times this year, that's been the case where it's not necessarily the officials, like they're doing their job properly. This is one where as soon as the season's over, that shadowy cabal known as the rules committee is going to get together around their table with their decoder rings, and they're going to change that rule instantaneously.
You know what would have been better? Better if the refs just hadn't thrown a flag at all and said, no, we didn't see any holding whatsoever. It all looked good to us.
that would be good.
NFL Network would have been a meltdown if that had happened. Right. Well, Justin, unless you've got anything else, we are going to get out of here and look forward to another. I think this week coming, are we finally at the point where there's no more teams on buys, or is there still a couple of buys to go yet?
We definitely have at least one team on buy this week. The Tennessee Titans have a buy this week. I know that, and there may be a couple others, but I think this is the last week of them.
Well, I'm guessing if Tennessee have got a buy, then I'm fairly certain somebody else has got a buy. So hopefully it's getting to the end of that time of the year, because I quite like seeing all the games, and sometimes on a Sunday for the late afternoon games, you only kind of sometimes get two games, or three games, but two of them are just like rubbish games that nobody wants to watch, so you're kind of sitting there watching one game basically on Red Zone, and I do like the nice mix of games.
Agreed.
Right, well, thanks, Justin. I hope you had a fantastic Thanksgiving and gave thanks to something, I don't know, your Xbox.
I definitely spent some quality time there, and I hope you had a great, what do they call it where you come from, Thursday.
We call it Thursday, and I've got to say it was a special Thursday. We do have Black Friday, and I didn't manage to wrestle any grannies on Friday, but well, maybe next year. We do have Cyber Monday. Do you have Cyber Monday today? Are you?
Cyber Monday-ing? We got Cyber Monday. We invented all that stuff. You know, now that I think about it, though, I wonder if Harbaugh got the idea from that last play by watching the Black Friday shoppers.
Maybe, yeah. Practiced all week with toasters and kettles and computer screens. Fantastic. Right, Justin, we better get out of here before somebody switches the electricity off.
Yep. No, before your co-host starts sending some angry hurry-up messages.
Yes, indeed, yeah. Yeah. Where can the listeners find you, Justin? Here's me being optimistic. Where can the listener find you, Justin?
All right, I'll just do the whole rundown. You can find the show at NFU Podcast on Twitter. I'm at Koreis, that's at KOREIS. You can email us, nextfanup@gmail.com. You can also check out our awesome new website, nextfanup.wordpress.com. If you haven't read the article about how win probability is calculated, read it. Like, I'm kind of a numbers guy, and even I was completely blown away by how crazy that process is. So check that out for sure. Other than that, you can find us on Facebook. Just search for Next Fan Up and you can look at us there. We'll be posting previews and recaps there as well as on the website.
Great stuff, Justin. And we'll be back next week.
Well, I think we learned today that you know, this game is four quarters long.
I've got all night.
I've got all day.
Okay, here we go. Behave yourself.